Did you have a lot of friends references to Chandler-Bong and stuff like that?
Mrs. Chandler-Bong.
Yeah.
7:03?
No.
This evening, Tuesday.
Shh.
We'll call the order. This is planning commission meeting.
Jeff, you need to say the location too.
Location.
For the record. Just say the community recreation.
We are holding this meeting at the community rec center. Do I need the address? Let's see your address. All right, we'll open for any public comment. We don't see anyone here, so we'll close that part of the meeting. Move into item number three on our agenda, approval of minutes from our last meeting held on August 25th, 2020. Any comments or questions on the minutes?
I don't know.
I don't know either, but I'll take a motion.
I'll move to approve the minutes of the August 25th, 2020 planning commission meeting.
Second.
All right, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay? Okay, unanimous. Move to item number four, which is review recommendation and hearing on amendments to City Code 10-68-2 related to districts within the SC1 commercial zone. We'll turn time over to staff for a little explanation on this.
I was going to show the overlay zone we're proposing, but I cannot get connected to the network, so you're gonna have to bear with me in my little pictures. You should have it ahead in front of you, I'm hoping. So you should have it before and after. Let me back up. So you remember last time we talked about this shell of the building's been empty for a number of years, and staff came with a proposal for some code that was to be adopted. I know that there were some concerns from the planning commission in terms of possible repercussions of adopting such code, and instead the planning commission made a recommendation to city council that they look at the data center land use code and make a conditional use in that zone. The concern that staff had after the meeting was that data center can mean a lot of different things in today's day and age, especially where we have a moving tech industry just around the park. If that were the case, there'd be nothing to stop Tony's tech industry from seeing his parcel of land and saying, you know, we want to build a 50,000 square foot data center on the remaining portion of the commercial zone. And there wouldn't be anything we could really do to stop it. So our main goal is to promote sales tax and services community. I thought this was probably about not the way to do it. So in discussing this item with the city council recommended that the planning commission consider rezoning that building that the shell is in. It's the Great Clips to Marvel's Pizza, that entire building. Rezoning that from the retail sub-district to the mixed-use sub-district. Currently, forgive my old school style here tonight, but I can like sit back and my computer work and connect to the internet. This yellow is the office sub-district, and that's a pretty build-out. The blue was the mixed-use, and then the red was the retail, and this pink was the mixed-use overlay, which is meant to create kind of a buffer between the high-end retail use and the residential area that was adjacent to it. But what this map doesn't show is that this is the old map from the code. What this map doesn't show is the adoption the city had of the PD1 zone, which is just about the entirety of
the purple.
This not purple, this blue, big blue square, except for a small section down here on the northwest corner. That's still a mixed use overlay. So the next item is, here's what the new, I'll show you the right way. This is what the new sub-district would look like. The office stays the same. PD1 is obviously removed because that's in a separate residential zone now. But the one lot is still in the mixed use overlay zone. You move the one building into the mixed use overlay zone. You still have the
overlay.
The overlay. This is, I think
it's a cold spot, though.
No, it's all still within the SC1 zone. So, and it's contiguous, it's just, it's right. Supposed to, it's not even, it's the rezoning is kind of a misnomer because it's not being rezoned, it's still in the SC1 zone. Because we're just saying that
it's the expansion.
The uses that are done in the district are going to change because this is not adjacent to North County Boulevard. So we recognize that after a few years of this building sitting, you know, half vacant, that we should probably open it up to some other uses, and that's the intent here. Because on a zoning map, this all shows up as one color. It's all SC1. It's not until you get into the SC1 code that you actually see the district boundaries. So.
Okay, before we go to questions, this is noticed as a public hearing as well, so if there's anyone here from the public that would like to address this issue, welcome to come forward and say none. We'll close the public hearing portion of this item and entertain the questions and comments from the commission.
You talked about rezoning. It's not really a building, is it a parcel?
It'd be the entire parcel. But the probability is not correct.
And so it's just that building, but not the Dollar Store.
Not the Dollar Store. Okay. Are you good with the Dollar Store?
Right.
Because where does it go? This kind of leads into the next discussion, too, which is the limited conditional uses found in the So, I mean, you could say Dollar Store would kind of be a mixed use, but it really has no effect on the building. Okay. So, it's not there.
Big photo. Good.
Gotta use your microphone.
Any other questions?
I know what.
Okay. Well, there's an emotion, though.
I know, just.
I can do it.
Yes, thank you.
Taylor, will you talk more into your microphone, too?
I represent the proposed zoning changes to the districts within SC1 commercial zone as presented by staff.
I'll second the motion.
Any further questions, discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, aye.
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 Any opposed, nay? All right, we'll move on to item 5 on our agenda, review recommendations and public hearing on amendments to City Code Title 10-6A-3 related to conditional and permitted uses in the SC1 commercial zone.
Yes, so with this one, when we're taking this building from one sub-district to the other sub-district, what we don't want to severely limit the uses that they can have in the building, right? I felt like this was a good time, a good opportunity to look at the three sub-districts and saying, what is allowed in these sub-districts? And does it still make sense from 2016 to 2015 when we last considered this? Additionally, Jenny and I met with the individual for who gave a proposal to the city for the portion of land that's adjacent to the Hearts, that's just to the south of the Hearts, and then to the east of the Hearts. So there's land that kind of wraps around the Hearts there. It's about 2 acres, 1 acre on either side. And the proposal was for car wash and basically an oil change center on the south end, and then a boat storage on the east end. And the question there was the car wash and the car wash and the oil change center are permitted uses there, the conditional permitted uses on that south end.
Is it 5/20? Is it tires, batteries, accessories?
Quick question.
Sure.
Is the gate door question sorted out?
I believe we did.
Because that might happen right on that.
So it's on the first page of that table.
Yeah, I know. I see this side. I
Well, it's a combination of 50 by 20.
50 by 30. So they both need conditional use, it's not permitted, excuse me. But like I said before, when you heard from land use, when you have conditional use, you've got to get permitted use with conditions. So that's a good way to get. But the boat storage on the east side was the concern because we don't have an allowance for outdoor storage, so they were interested in pursuing a proposal with the Planning Commission City Council, saying what's the temperature on allowing a use such as this to be in that area. And so while we had noticed this for different reasons, I thought, okay, well, this is the two birds with one stone, have a full discussion. So if we can initially focus on the building site, keep in mind the building that we're proposing to rezone and the uses for there, and then also keep in mind the spot that's behind parts to the south. Because that's what we're looking at is as far as permitted and conditional.
Not the one with frontage on Anabola.
It could affect that, yeah. If you change a permitted and conditional uses in the retail zone, it would affect that property as well as every other property south of that. That makes sense. Is that clear?
It's clear.
Okay. Massive circle. We are. Because if you look at the permitted and conditional uses, if you add a permitted use in that zone, it could be there, it could also be to the south of the new Taco Bell, it could be anywhere there. If you add a conditional use or permitted use in the mixed use zone, the mixed use district, I should say, then you've got what you have in that building, because that's really kind of that building and then the parcel to the east of it. The remaining portion of the Cedar Canyon development, those are the ones that will be affected, as well as the lumpy lofts that will be discussed last.
And so you're asking for what the temperature is?
Yeah.
I'm more looking for a car wash, oil change center, not so warm to a boat storage.
Okay. And I'm not asking you. I mean,
No.
So my, I've got some questions. Yeah. So please take your mask off.
Speak into the microphone, please.
I have some questions about boat storage. Is it only boats that are wrapped in like winterized? Is it like any boat? Is it non-running boats? Is it parts of boats? Like how far does this go?
Boats.
See, that's where that breaks down.
Boats that's surrounded by a wall.
The wall will be solid.
Is it a 6-foot wall or a 4-foot wall?
You have to require it only a 10-foot wall. But,
sorry, that was an inside joke.
Is it a 10-foot wall? You're saying 10-foot wall. We don't allow 10-foot walls, so that would have to be also considered.
I think it would be an 8-foot wall, but we want it high enough for security.
But we don't have anything, obviously there's nothing in code that allows for, this type of storage, and that's why we need to come to our discussion.
I agree with Corey, that line of the car wash would be great, and the oil center, and I don't run all the way down maybe to the agenda. More storage in our commercial center, I'm not interested in it. And if we don't have it right now, I would not propose action.
Didn't we have a significant amount of pushback on enclosed storage before, like having to some kind of open storage? I mean, it goes very much against what we allowed before, but also it's like a whole new thing that we kind of prohibited up until this point.
So we're 2/3 of the way there. We had talked about before the type of boat installation where they're selling.
Yeah. Where they were.
Where they were selling boats. They're selling equipment to take out of lakes. That sounded interesting. Storage.
That's a discussion, honestly. For,
at least I'm not interested.
I mean, is there any prohibition against, like, if it were a car repair place, like you mentioned, like an oil change place, that they would have enclosed storage that could potentially house some boats at some time. I don't know that an open lot.
So I think they're looking at, we're going to come up with this is way I'm interpreting conversation, is long-term boat storage. And and the reason that I'm bringing this up, like I said, because I informed the proposers that this is not allowed. Now, I can understand why you're not excited about it because you want something else there, but it also does, to their credit, does help with some of the problems we see in the community. We are considered strokes on all the streets. So,
Let me do this. This was also noticed as public hearing, so let me open up the public hearing portion. Public hearing portion, invite anyone yourself and anyone else who might like to address this issue. Just kind of like, give us your name and where you live.
Yes, thank you, gentlemen. My name is Stephen Potter. I live in Buffalo. And I'm the owner of the Royal Washington, which is across the street right here, as well as the property.
Excuse me. I can hardly hear you. Can you speak more into the microphone, please? Yes. Thank you.
I was just going to say we are owners of the existing recently gated road wash down in it's next to the years. And we've been looking for some time trying to move this way. We think that we can still offer a service up here that we had a hard time handling the traffic on in Lehigh, quite frankly. And this is a great site, except for the piece of ground that wraps around behind Hearts. That's what we call a no man's land. There's not access to it. We can't hardly even get, we can't get a curb cut unless we help have the city that allows the things to begin to that. It's about 6 tenths of an acre, 7 tenths of an acre. It sits behind the Hearts station. We can develop a very nice facility. We've already laid it out. We intend to do this in conjunction with the Jardine Brothers as part of a much larger program for not only Utah, but Arizona. This will be our first project, joint ownership. They own the property right now, the Jardine Brothers do. That's the owners of our service station. And we're just trying to find a way to make this whole 2 acres work and be useful. So we're trying to develop something we felt might be useful in the community itself, and that is boat storage. I need to tell you, it's hard to find covered boat storage, period. And what we intended to do was we had laid it out to where we have 24 boat stalls that are 12 feet wide, 38 feet deep. And they will all have an awning, a continuous awning, all the way down to both sides. It will have at least an 8-foot wall, if that's per level, around the entire storage area. They will enter off of, I don't know what street it's called, but it's the one that you're coming from the Walmart side to that border little bit right there. We could enter there and exit through the back of the car wash facility and on to that line that really lines all the way around the back out to the primary street coming through. So, and it gets very low traffic. And it's either early morning or late night. Most of the traffic that comes in. Because those that are going to pick up their boat and store are going to do a before and after use of the day. And that's all. So, won't be seen because of the size of the wall, very little traffic. And just because the piece behind the Hearts station is has no visibility, there's nothing from the North Canyon. There's no visibility from North Canyon. There's little visibility from the Walmart side there because that's the problem we build out. And really nothing around the back because it's residential, so you just get the regular traffic hatch to come around that back that runs up against it's not being studied. So it's hard to find. I can't have a hard time investing a lot of money to develop something like a storefront building. You know, a lot that's too small to do much of it because it is what we have in the area. So we're in a dilemma. We feel like this is something that needs to be fit and still provide something to the community, which would be outside and protect that with the size
and
cover
the rules.
That was
me. Ken, we don't have an internet to look at or not.
No.
We're talking about directly behind the Hearst building. Just right here.
It's a secret, this is on Canyon Boulevard. It's the road that accesses parts and the road that we put in. It's the top one. So you have a oil service station, car wash, and then wells. This is a tricky property in that this any access would be really close to another access, so there'd have to be some variances granted. But you could pull in, back and forth in, and then pull out. That's the
joke. And how many stalls are you talking? Is it 24?
It's a bit of that. 24. This is, yeah, it's pretty much all in. And we try to go down now. So,
I like the product of the product. You know, it's easier to open up.
Thank you.
Do
you have a reason?
Yeah, you guys over. That leaves my deal on stuff.
Yeah.
They're always quick, too.
So, yeah, actually, the roof actually is really sold.
But we're back here again, so we'll start. Do you want to know, Phil?
Oh, you're not going to stop. Sorry.
It's okay.
Stop making a negative decision.
Wouldn't be the first time.
If buying this half acre of business, it's not this business.
It's all together. It's on the internet.
Then completely change our direction on this and to say now outdoor storage without even access doors, it's just an outdoor storage lot, is allowed. And we had some very long, drawn out discussions about this before, and I just think that that goes against the intent of how we have guided development in this area. My thought is that if it became an indoor, you know, storage, although now bay doors are allowed, so they have doors at the ends of it or something like that, and that would be maybe more palatable, but an outdoor storage lot, I think we had talked a lot around that, and that just wasn't something that we were going to permit. Chandler, is that, do you regard that?
No, that's we had lengthy discussions that, I mean, even the on the extra space storage. As you look at the building, you do see some outdoor, you see some outdoor bays. They're limited in view, and also limited in use in that you can't park them. So, those are the conversations we had. So, I just feel like, to be fair to the developers and the worth having a discussion, it's just that as you propose to develop, as you ready to develop, you invest money in it, or I said, before you guys invest that money, it's all to have this discussion.
Hopefully that's helpful.
Yes.
So this,
is there any possibility, we looked at this a little bit, now it looks expensive, but we have the possibility of making it all with a structure.
Except the bay doors.
Which you wouldn't see because they fix each other inside the eye walls.
Which you're now allowed to have.
I know, that's what we've got.
I would be more inclined to have an enclosed facility. I mean, we talk about climate control, the enclosed storage facility is allowed. If these are bigger units, then those in could potentially allow for vehicle storage. And as long as it met pretty much the same criteria as we set up at the other climate control storage units, I think we entertain it more so than open lot or even enclosed lot of those awnings like that. That doesn't fly with the discussion we've had over the last 5 years.
Hey, let me give you something.
I think that would change the character of the zone right there. I know that it's not seen the street, but I think it would change the character of what we're also hoping to have. As soon as parking is completely all the way through and property across the street is developed.
One thing to also consider though is that the indoor climate control storage is only allowed in the mixed use over the portion. So you would also have to adjust that. So there'd be that, and then you'd also.
Or that.
If that's the way that this conversation went, that would be at least something with planning commissions.
And I would still encourage split exploration of other options.
Well, we'll reach out to you.
Thank you.
So let's finish with this side.
Yes, yeah, so we focused in on the existing building, the lot to the east, and the Bone Peak House. As I went through this list, and I apologize, I'm copying the list from the code site to the word doc, kind of shifted the columns a little bit. So if you can imagine this first column with the season piece as the retail zone, and the middle one is the mixed use. I'm not talking anything about this tonight, so it's just the first two columns there. Land use 5330, variety stores, dollar stores, they should be permitted in the retail zone.
Was it conditional before, or was it not?
It was approved before this list was put together.
Okay.
So that's why it's there on there. But it, makes sense there. I guess that's the point I made. Yes. As we audit this business, it makes sense that it's there. As a permitted use, it's a retail use. It's a very good business. 5520, tires, batteries, accessories. I had that moving over to a conditional use in the office, so that's just by virtue of it depends on the use too, really. Because you have different types of auto industries. You have the changing your oil type, which I would keep out on North County Boulevard, but then you have the more retail aspect, which is like AutoZone, and that's just a retail store. And so that, I feel like, meets a lot of the criteria of that new mixed-use office overlay. So that's the
number one.
What's that?
Is there a number in the wrong?
Yes. We've had conversations with them in the past. It's been a while, but we've had conversations with them in the past. Not AutoZone, but for retail. But it's not an on-site service station. It's really a retail use. 5600, I could not think of a good reason why apparel and accessories could not be permitted in the mixed use zone. I mean, if your intent is to build a commercial sales tax base, then retail uses were transacted or items were transacted at a cashier, work's not done on site. To me, it's all, whether it's clothes, batteries, tires, it's a retail use. You may not shop there, but people do. And then 5813 is drive through fast food restaurants. I personally don't love that we lump these together in that you can have a fast food restaurant that's not a drive. So I'm thinking specifically of the Rumpy Gloss. And if they have a restaurant, you went in and they didn't have on-site seating, it was just a deli, you walked in, they made a sandwich, you walked out. That would be the code here because it's fast food, there's no on-site seating.
So you're putting that under retail or?
No, I'm saying it should be a conditional use in this zone. You can make it happen if it were.
In retail or mixed use?
That would be a conditional use in mixed use. So if you can make
mine doesn't show that.
Sorry, this was a note I made afterward.
Oh, okay.
I wish I had the internet right now, so I plug in the show.
No, I'm good then.
So I apologize. I should have downloaded. Normally I download the whole packet to my laptop beforehand. I did not do that today. I apologize. I should have to deal with the best thing. So I was proposing to add that as a conditional use in that menu site. And I had some notes about the proposal that the gentleman was just talking about. I would say the most likely 6376, which is general warehousing and storage, unidentified storage, and then 6379, which is other warehousing and storage. But I don't know if we want to tackle that item right now. We'll probably see what comes back. Those are the items that I was looking at, which were, like I said, 5330, 5520, 5600, 5813. As you've gone through these lists, I hope you take a moment to just read through them. Whatever uses that you're looking at, that should be in one column or the other is a permitted or conditional use.
The 6111, would that be the ATMs that we're talking about?
No, we were going to actually call it data services because there's not anybody on site.
So it's next
it's question. Close.
It's close.
It's close.
And you can interpret. We want some room for interpretation here. But it begs the question. Let's say that you're having a. Let's say that the dollar store, just wanted an ATM. Would we allow it? Yes. That's how I feel. Is that this should be? It's a permitted use right now. So
where's data services?
That's it's 6550.
There it is.
So we're not proposing moving that as a conditional use in the retail zone. Just leaving it the way it is.
Okay.
So
any comments or questions on the proposed changes?
But, I mean, honestly, if you, data processing services, you could put a Bitcoin miner down there.
Sure. If it's a legal use, it's a legal use in their renting property. I don't know if it's disadvantageous to the neighborhood.
Well, and then, like I said, servers.
Yeah.
Right, that's a
building server.
To the exact point of why I didn't feel like it should be conditional use in resales. We already allow that, they already do that. But let's say that we made a condition use in resales on our whole commercial zone is subject to servers. Which, I mean, we talked about it like it's a far-fetched thing, but we do have a lot of data processing in the area. You know, if you provide cheap land, any discussion on the items that I've put, the land use approach that I brought up or others?
We're going to take a motion. We have some more discussion.
So, I do have one more question. If we can do things like data services and, you know, I guess an ATM, you're coming up to it, you have customers, but let's say you don't have customers coming up to it. Say data service, say it's Bitcoin processing or whatever else, and you don't see anyone coming or going other than maybe a technician every once in a while. What's the difference then in another business for your storing data here? Why not store anything anywhere as long as nobody sees it? I mean, that's kind of a strange line where if you're not having people going in and interacting, but you could almost put anything inside of the building and no one knows within it. Right? And so that kind of gets me back to almost the both sort of thing.
Right, and the reason there is that you do see people going in.
Not very many, though. I mean, how many times do you go get your boat?
So that's a good one.
Seven, all right, we'll go with seven. But I mean, that's kind of the. That can be made into a. If we don't have business interaction customers, sales, tax activities, then what's the prevent somebody from doing anything in that, as long as it's not happening? You know what I mean? Like, I don't. Like, if we get down there, go down that road. As long as we're not manufacturing, like.
I would actually like to say there's probably very few businesses that literally no one goes into. Even the data processing center, you're going to have people on staff that are probably physically on site most of the normal working day. I mean, both sorts, to your point, keep making the same comment, if you're looking at 2 to 3 people a day, maybe it's very low use. I think, in terms of boat storage, it's more the visual aspect.
You can make
the boat storage. Oh, my God. We said it before. You don't have the money engineering, you're spending. So, I don't disagree. But in this case, the data processing is already allowed in that zone. So you can take that Brendan Cedar Canyon piece, right? And it had a pencil in, I think it was a 7,000 or 8,000 square foot commercial building. Well, you could do that for 2 stories and move down a floor and have a 3 floor server processing room. And it's permitted use in the city. You really couldn't say anything to them today. I know they're all day long, and there's a different demand for it. And really, this is the concern for land is at a premium in the valley. And so, yeah, it's not the right off the freeway, but it's probably close enough to your tech company that it makes sense, so it's not out of the realm of possibility. But no, that's already something that they could do.
Right.
You know, Bumpy lost every basic business that could be service. It's not glamorous. I get it, but
it's from generate revenue for the city.
Does it generate, yeah. Sales tax or profit tax, sorry. You know, and then the state's always about, every January, March, they're always talking about sales tax. You know, it's a, right now it's just a sale of goods, but they've talked about the servers. They've talked about services, how they tax those. So it's always a point of discussion. So I don't think that you can long term hang your hat on the sale of goods is where sales tax is generated. It's always subject to change.
I recommend that. You recommend the proposed changes to City Code 10-68-3, the SC1 land use table with the SC1 commercial zone as presented by staff.
I'll second the motion.
Any further questions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Unanimous.
This next item is, again, it's in 10-68-6 residential use requirements in the C1 zone. Again, this is still that mixed use zone. It's just the mixed use of the district, I should stop saying all the way. But for the residential use conditions, under 4A, it says residential buildings located in the southern half of the mixed use district. This language is a remnant from 2015-2016 when the entire P1 zone did not exist. You know, and that was the idea, was that any potential homes would be located adjacent to the existing homes. That has since been rezoned, and I feel like this is a line of code that serves no purpose other than to confuse everybody.
You're proposing just a strike. So this, again, has been done, this is also a public hearing. If there's anyone here that would like to comment on this particular item, or to.
I'm not sure I understand exactly what.
Yeah, I'll talk about it. So in the SC1 zone, there is a residential allowance for homes. And as long as you meet the conditions that the code lays out, you can have a residential component as part of the commercial development. Right? And the residential conditions are, so the requirement that all of it, so the idea is that the residential units are situated above the commercial ground floor, right? And it may be altered to allow residential use on the ground floor only if all the conditions are met. So there's four conditions that allow residential use on the ground floor. One is that a minimum of 50% of the ground floor area from the project should be for commercial uses. Two, if the project is completed in multiple phases, each phase shall independently meet 50% requirement of commercial residential. Or taken as a whole, project needs to, residential use may exceed 50% if any phase is taken as a whole, including proposed phase, the project needs to be 60% requirement, and as well as use incentives and projects. And this alteration is approved by City Council following recommendations from the Planning Commission. There's one, the first one I did not read, which says residential building is located in the southern half of the mixed use district, and where we've taken a big chunk of land and showed it to them. This blue area was the mixed use sub-district. Years ago, the city took this big portion of land, there's a carpet out there, but this portion of land, and that's where the Cedar Canyon development is now, it's now residential zone. It's no longer commercial. So this is why I say this line of code is confusing, because the southern half is now
completely
Yeah. It's just, it doesn't mean a lot. So. Well, sorry, this portion right here.
Anyway. But it's excluded because it's not the southern half.
It wasn't the southern half that was originally intended, but the whole sub-district has changed, and so that's why I feel like this line of code is
kind of an orphan.
It is an orphan, well said.
So we'll start with code and recall that that's what you do.
Right.
I move that we recommend proposing.
I didn't know what Karen meant.
Unless you want to speak.
Yeah.
Would you like to, if you would like to, please come to the mic, tell us your name, where you live, and any comments if you'd like.
My name is Mark Webb. I live from the Beat Circle. After hearing the explanation, I think it's fine. I was just clarification, maybe concerned about that we're making some sort of change to that area closer to the residents.
Yeah.
But it sounds like it's not.
No. I can talk to that. I know that there is concerns from that area down there concerning the proposed multi-bus. But this really, I mean, we're talking about traffic and that pulls into that subdivision, but it's really, it's a problem. Have you seen that subdivision at all?
No.
I got to share with you.
Multi-bus.
This one line of code is, you can, if you look at the original zoning map, you can see what was intended. And since the zoning map has since changed, John, like you said, this line of code becomes kind of orphaned, and it really doesn't mean anything. Because you see how sporadic that mixed use district is, and you see that this southern requirement, it's hard to define and it's hard to interpret.
I think it was originally contemplated as an overall development scheme.
It was.
And now, instead of having one developer coming in and grabbing the whole thing, it's more parts that are being called and developed and trying to.
I was around when this was first
created. So the Rosegate proposal was an attempt to take that whole blue zone that I showed you and make it into an assisted living type facility. Just to check, I don't know if you remember that. Yeah. A lot of people were upset. Your own planning commission, those are thoughts.
Memorable days.
Right? But since the settlement agreement between the developer and the city, that's now just a residential zone. So that's why this line of code just comes.
Right, I'll entertain a
motion. I move that we recommend the proposed change to the city code 10-68-6 related to residential requirements in the SC1 commercial zone.
Okay. I'll second.
John. No further discussion. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous. All right, we'll move on to our final item. Item number 7, review recommendation on amendments to City Code Title 10, Chapter 6. Related to not fencing, but landscaping.
And we're back.
And we're back. I'm not going to draw this out. Keep it short. So, basically, I'll come back with a little bit of background. We did meet twice, once in January 28th. We did meet as a discussion to include possible reduction from 30% down to low for commercial areas. We talked about ground point trees, water conservation methods, and at that time, Planning Commission wasn't really in favor of lowering that landscape requirement. Again, this was a discussion on only, no action was taken. On August 25th, staff presented a preliminary proposal landscaping code. They provided staff with direction and feedback. Hopefully this was tabled and that's what brought us here today. So in front of you or on your packet, there is proposed landscaping code. Staff were proposing to include water conservation methods. So the first one that we would like to change is number 3. Under zero scaping to add local scaping in there as the definition. And on number 2, we want to add drought tolerance. We go down to the table. So what we did in this table is we added
what type of drop collars they would be, it's just an end table of the end, which would be low, medium, and high. Then again, on the struts, it would be either low, medium, or high in that area as well. So this kind of gives an idea of when people go to plant the landscapes, that they know, okay, are we looking toward a drought tolerant? It gives them that information there. In the SC zones, number two, which is the commercial area, we also want to include some different options there for planting areas. In the planting areas, we want to add active recreation areas and retention areas. If retention basins are added, and I believe they are included, as that, would this be contingent on what they use, the materials used?
Possibly. Sorry, just talking on my mic. On a retention basin, you could do it with grass, like the Lone Peak Loft subdivision is proposing, and that becomes more like a yard area for any adjacent homes. You could also do something like, and Walmart did the same thing, that's the retention basin there that's on Redwood Drive, or 4600 there, right by the stop sign speed bump. You could also do a retention basin that is rock mulch base, and similar to what Chase Bank has out in front on Cedar Hills Drive as you turn onto North County Boulevard. Both are acceptable as a term in terms of meeting landscaping requirements for the SC1 zone. If they were to use an underground chamber system that collects it under the parking lot, obviously that does not meet any open space code. That's really what like Taco Bell did. And the storage facility is doing. So it really kind of depends on how they're designing their retention basin, but it could, and most of them have.
So one of the things we should look at then is if we should start this retention basin out of this section.
No, I think you leave it in. I think you leave it in just because retention basins, while they serve a purpose for storm drain control on a site, they can also serve multi-purpose because they're not always full of water. In fact, they're typically not full of water. So you look at the one that's already there behind Walmart, that gets used as a sledding hill. I know my kids use a retention basin in the neighborhood as a sledding hill in the wintertime. I've also seen cities that have put cement pads and basketball hoops at the base of retention basins to play on. So they actually can have dual purpose there in terms of active recreation areas and retention basins. You just have to make sure that when you're doing that, you're leaving enough room for percolation to the ground if you're putting a cement pad, because that does prevent perk. But they can be designed.
Permeable
concrete, you're right.
So the next section we'll be on to proposed features in one of the ones we want to include on there. We have fountains, plazas, and splash pads, but we don't include water features. I know there's a lot of commercial areas that will have specific water features, like that Tangle Stream that goes down through there. We would like to be able to have them use this as for that 5% that's a requirement reduction. If at the end, if you're gathering in a public place and it brings art features to that, that will be the type of art feature that will bring them to that area. We want to have them commercial areas when they do the architecture on this to come back with, you know, that as part of that. And we go and the planning commission and city council will vote on that again for that 5% reduction. Down on number 9, zero scaping, we're still in commercial area. We want to include zero scaping and landscaping to be permitted. One of the things that, to be qualified landscaping architect, if they would constitute more than one third of the total landscaping area. Local scaping is a little bit different. It incorporates more plants and trees as a combination, more than just zero scaping type of a feature. possibility to be flexible with that one third, maybe bring it down to one half or bring it up to one half. I want to see if it be down, apparently that is a possibility.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, local skating is a really nice idea because it's all, you try to really pay attention to local flora, what really, really well here, instead of importing what parts of the state or parts of the country.
With the dash width and under number 9, if we increase that from one third to one half, for example, well, you could just use the zero skating, not the local skate. I
have your landscape if you. Rock.
Rock.
Yeah, no.
And I think that's a little much.
Okay.
If it is local scape, then it's pretty stuff and it looks nice. That's different. I might be able to deal with that.
So your option there is
split them out?
Split them out.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so we'll take that out. If it's on the MD as local scape, we can have that one half. Is that what I.
Yes.
I would be okay with that.
I mean, I spent some time in Vegas and zero skating there. I mean, it's desert skate. I mean, just rock and occasionally some plants, and so we don't want to necessarily encourage that as much as maybe the local skating and the water or the drought resistant plants. I think that's normal with one.
Yeah. So you can.
Can be done nicely. Remember the church to the couple of parts there is being from Ohio. This is desert. Anywhere you go, this is desert to me. And coming out here with desert climate, I don't mind seeing a desert approach up to the third.
Yeah.
Up the last thing I do enjoy my lawn out there for the best. It can be done nicely, but I don't think you want to.
But also, if you go, if you're in the Vegas area, there are some trees that don't say zero state. And then there's some that don't that are right next to it. The temperature is hotter than the ones that are zero state than the ones that have grass. So we don't want to raise our own temperature by encouraging distance.
Yeah, I mean, it's the equivalent of hardscape, all over the pitch. It doesn't retain water, right? And so, I mean, that's the heat island effect is what they call it.
Yeah.
So we could incentivize by splitting it out and allowing them to have if they want to take a local state.
Now, on local state, what we want to do is instead of a great big grassy area, we want to reduce the grass area, not eliminate it, but reduce it and add, you know, different aspects and features to go around. It really does look nice. So we'll go on to the next one then. So I will take this, the plant section out of zero skating, and we'll take that down to the local skating portion.
Okay.
Okay, so the next one we go down to the plant table, which is the trees. You again want to have that brown colored table section in there. There's not, some of those aren't listed because, frankly, on our old code, I can't find them. So, what we'll do is I've contacted the University of Utah and the extension services there, and they're going to get back with me so we can update that to the accurate.
Perhaps I just have a question about these tables.
Okay.
That's a drought tolerance rate.
Correct.
So you want them to be high.
Right.
Got it. Okay. It's not a water usage.
No, this is drought tolerance.
Okay. Thank you.
Now, if you go down to the shrubs, it goes down to the water usage level. So, and that would be low, medium, high.
And you want those to be low?
Yes. So I will clarify that under water usage.
Mm-hmm. We should stick with one or the other.
Can we? Again, in the way the code is written and in the way it's formatted,
can you make a green, yellow, or red?
You can.
green's good, there's bad. Maybe it would make it a little more clear.
Let's jump it back and forth between.
Okay. The reason why it's separated out is because when you go in and you look at the scientific names of these, they're not, the shrubs are not listed as drought tolerant. They're listed as water resistant.
As water resistant.
Yeah, and so that's why it's listed as such.
I can understand that. I'm just saying it's just
high.
Yeah, it's shimmering and goes on front of the table to the next part of the table.
Okay. We'll keep them on this.
Red, yeah.
Red, bad, pretty good. I can do that. And it's not just me. I'm looking at other people who are going to look at this. The more clear we can make it, the better we are.
Let's jump forward for to parking records. So one of the parking records, we want to incorporate zero staking in most parking areas and local staking. Again, the verbiage here is to allow up to 50% of the required landscaping area shall be live vegetation. That's open for discussion. As you were to include zero staking. So the trees would stay.
G11.
Got it. Okay. So under this proposed code, we would allow zero staking in there. If they did do zero staking, they would have at least 50% of that to be required live vegetation. The trees, again, we have them as honeylocust trees, which are already drought tolerant. So we would keep those. But we would have that option.
So, since it's saying that they can do gravel drainage around all of their trees?
Yes.
Up to half.
Up to half. So 50% of that will have to be by vegetation of that park strip that they have, parking strip.
Like a median with parking on the side.
Correct. But you know, Walmart, they have the big medians in there.
Yeah.
So
and I'm trying to not get a picture with it.
Rocks and shrubs.
Most of it's like bark.
Also what?
Bark, like bark chip.
Yeah.
But that's noted in this, right?
How do you define the 50%? Is it the footprint of the locust tree? High locust? Or is it the trunk diameter. Where's the 50% come from? That's.
I'd say the circumference of the tree itself.
Yeah,
of the tree itself.
Probably.
Okay, so if it was a small.
I mean, you could have a park strip that's like, you know, 2 feet wide and 6 feet long and a 5-inch caliper tree, and you could plant how many trees they won't fit, so it's got to be, it can't be the diameter of the trunk.
So is it the diameter of the canopy then?
Probably.
Yeah, again, right
over.
Yeah, so on those smaller ones, one tree, and you're good to go.
Yeah.
This is gonna
work on the shrubs.
Or a couple of shrubs.
Yeah.
That's fine. I want to know where the 50% is coming from.
Do we need clarification on the code? What that is? If you want to enforce it.
Flip a coin. Which way is it going?
Well, yeah. You know, when the architect puts in a landscaping plan, that's where it would be called.
Okay, so when you come into the landscaping plan, you're not looking at trunk diameter. You're looking at the canopy coverage.
Yeah.
Because you're having an aerial view of this, right? Like there's somebody had a landscaping plan a minute ago, and it shows the crossways diameter and opening of the canopy tree. So I think if that's the case, that number
comes. Yeah.
So on this, we do want to prohibit the type of quartz, white rock, lava rock, possibly gravel or material that is the proximal color of the concrete. We want to get away from that to give it some aesthetic feel to it. That's not just, you know,
white gravel. The other thing is that we want to.
Doesn't the church have like granite or something? Is that what one? I guess that a lot? I mean, what do we want? I guess is the question.
I know.
We don't want a lot.
We should not want lava rock.
Lava rock is terrible.
Yeah. It's called out as not permitted up like that.
So. What would not be permitted is a quartz white rock, a lava rock for gravel, and a color of concrete. That's what would not be permitted.
Right, it's close to that.
Makes with each other.
Yes, they are. The problem with those is they're very mobile and short.
Which leads us down to the next one.
Okay.
That the businesses would be liable or responsible for any type of landscaping or damage that would result if we continue to do it and decide to have a rock pile in the parking lot.
I was not thinking of
the regardless of how such migration occurs.
My grandson at 4, they're just real handy. I have something kind of, they're real handy size for him.
Windows are expensive.
Yes, they are.
So I don't say anything right now. Don't I not? So far, indicated okay.
Yeah, remember that coming up.
I don't know where it is.
Bark chips or mulch or something. We said it wasn't allowed in place and was
brought
out.
Yeah.
Did we guess that?
We're not sure. We can't find a reference where it says.
Just control that bit when you're back in the office and find it. Bark. Yeah, because it was.
So I'm not seeing it on here. But it's small.
So tonight, we can, if I understand correctly, we've recommended a couple minor changes. Do we want to come back with revised language? Do we want to just approve tonight with all of the changes? I think so. We should just. Yeah, so the changes we recommended. The first one that I recall is splitting xeriscaping from local scaping and allowing local scaping to take up to 50% of the landscaping requirement and leave xeriscaping at 1/3 of the landscaping requirement. So that was the one change.
I don't think we have any others.
We have no.
And the next one was to come the drought tolerance to keep them all the same and possibly fall
apart. At least.
Which doesn't change the substance of this mix.
No. It's format.
It's just format.
I would tell you, I'm not a landscape architect, but I will take the ones that work with these tables and they all work really well. You're going to know right away what's drought tolerant. They have a lot of attention to that, especially on so I think it's table to be reduced.
Yeah, the only other one that I see that possibly would change is to either include bark in the decorative material or xeriscaping for the parking areas.
I had thought the feeling was to be not including bark hillside.
We're transitioning by a house and it flows away. Sprinkler flowing into the grass and not have to rain that in the bed and broke away and just breeze through. So we're transitioning to rock.
Yeah, I feel safe. About maybe not having a bar in the residential.
Yeah.
In the commercial.
Is it in there now? We're thinking about it.
No, it's not.
So we're
I should just ask it in the comments.
There's one somewhere.
So, two changes? Sorry, three changes? Split local scaping.
Local scaping and zero scaping.
Clarify the table, possibly.
Clarify the table with formatting. I think that was all
yes,
right.
Yes, maybe that's just interesting. Why are you rolling this down?
What are you?
It's
Okay, I move that we recommend the proposed amendments to City Code 10-527C3-10-6A, or B239, and C3G11, subject to the following modifications. That we split the zero scape from the local, the local scaping, allowing the local scaping to be 50% of landscape requirements, and leaving the zero scaping at 30% of landscape. And to clarify the table, the plant use table, with formatting changes.
I'll second that.
We have a motion made for further discussion on the motion. Very none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Unanimous. All right, our last item, consider a motion to adjourn.
I move to adjourn.
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Yep.